welcome to A Year on the Farm. I am your host, Kimberly Allen. Join me as I share my small farm journey on Vancouver Island and connect with other female farmers about how to grow beautiful food, manage a farm, and feed our communities. Welcome to A Year on the Farm. I am your host, Kimberly Allen. I am grateful to live and farm on the unceded traditional territory of the Comox First Nation. As you may have seen, the release of this episode was delayed this week. I had written and recorded it several months ago, and when I went to edit and prepare it for publishing, I felt it wasn't quite right. So I wrote a new episode, recorded it, and this week, as I went to prepare to publish it, once again, I really had some reservations. I was struggling with balancing sharing a piece of my story while also trying to make it relevant and useful for listeners. After all, this is a podcast about how to farm. And then I realized that I was stuck for two reasons. We don't see a lot of people talk about mental health struggles in farming, and I'm currently dealing with a personal stress that I needed some perspective on. This episode is a moment in time and not intended to be health advice, but rather sharing a piece of my story to help keep this conversation going. In all of my work experience, farming is by far the industry where I have witnessed the most reluctance to talk about mental health, to seek help, and a lot of stigma, which I do believe is a bit of a holdover from generations past. I have witnessed and heard about more burnout in farming than anywhere else. And what makes all of this so complicated for farmers is that our life and work are intertwined. We don't commute to a cubicle that we can escape at the end of the day. Few of us have extended health benefits. We don't ever really stop working or leave our job. There is this perception that somehow living on land, growing food, in itself is therapeutic, and it can be, and it often is. But it is work, work that never stops, never ends, and is dependent on so many variables beyond our control. However, with more farmers, more young farmers, more female farmers, I feel like there is a shift to bringing mental health and overall health into the open in agriculture. And that's a trend I am happy to see. When it comes to the things we can't control, I look back on last summer when we faced so many variables in our work that it was honestly very overwhelming for me. We had a severe heat wave. It was more than a wave, called a heat dome. It actually lasted for quite some time. We had a stretch of extreme weather that lasted for weeks without rain. And as a daily habit, I check temperatures because we're always anticipating how much irrigation is needed, when to transplant, direct sow. There is a constant sense of being tuned into the weather. Even though there was some warning of the heat dome, it really wasn't enough time to prepare. We were already low on water. We have one well and only our greenhouse as irrigation. Our fields are strictly watered with rain. So looking back, we just simply couldn't have anticipated how bad it was going to be. It was just something that had never happened before to this extreme. Also, our farm is surrounded by forest, so we were extremely concerned about wildfires, trees dying, and the impact of soil erosion. While the area obviously had a fire ban, we know that there were some wildfires in the area, and it was incredibly stressful. The heat took a toll on us as a family. We moved to the basement to sleep, which gave us a little relief, but honestly, we hardly slept. I would say that was probably one of the first factors that started to take a toll. And next up was the fact that we couldn't farm during midday. We would start as early as possible in the morning, come inside during the day to get a break from the heat, and then go out again in the evening. Our work was immediately impacted by this. It was challenging to keep up. We started to lose rows and rows of plants, new transplants, were perishing. We were losing food in the greenhouse as it was like literally cooking on the vines. We lost about a third of our pickling cucumbers and a huge portion of our tomatoes. So not only was the heat really hard to deal with, but we were quickly dealing with loss of product, and we were in the middle of our CSA program. So we prioritized our produce for the CSA before our market and farm store sales. Of course, all of this was happening while still very much being in the middle of the pandemic. We kept receiving forecasts for rain, but then it would delay and delay. And when it finally rained, the ground was so dry that the farm was just covered in water. Looking back, I realize how stressful all of this was. Lack of sleep, loss of product, and we were even suffering from heat exhaustion. I wasn't at my best, but I did quickly simplify everything I could. Less housework, less everything. We ate raw food. We didn't want to turn on the stove or oven. Later in the summer, we could see that the trees were likely dying, many around us. And during the fall and winter storms, we had a lot of trees come down. We know that the drought was definitely a contributing factor. Trees down for us is quite troublesome. We had some fall on power lines at Christmas. We had part of a tree fall on our woodshed. A part of a tree came down in the goat field. Several went down on the road. And I'll never forget the night I woke up to flashing lights and the sound of a chainsaw as there was a big tree down across the road and a worker out there in the middle of the dark night chainsawing up the tree and getting it cleared off the road. After the heat dome, we were able to bounce back as much as possible. We planted more food and stored as much water as we could for the remainder of the summer. We were just so grateful for it to be over, and we were eager for fall. The tomatoes actually did make a little bit of a comeback in fall, and we were picking them in the greenhouse to the end of October. We picked what we had left and ripened the rest inside, so we were actually eating fresh tomatoes until December. We also managed to squeeze in another CSA season for November and December because of all the extra planting we had done. So there were definitely some positive outcomes. With the heat dome, COVID, rising costs, and a general sense of not being able to predict the near future, we were dealing with so many variables out of our control. Weather is always a variable in farming, but extreme weather is something that we were simply unprepared for. Even though we got through it, I was exhausted. I remember having a moment when I felt that I needed to drop something, but I looked around me and there simply wasn't anything for me to let go of. And there was the building need to get ourselves better prepared. We have spent winter planning and preparing for extreme weather. When the floods hit southern BC, it was another reminder of the extreme conditions farmers are facing. We were not directly affected, but we have been impacted. First of all, we are heartbroken over what we know so many farmers have had to deal with. Devastation far greater than what we experienced, and we send our thoughts to those folks. As I was emerging from winter and starting to feel more hopeful, I was injured. It was another reminder of the unplanned events that can happen, that we can hardly even prepare for. I've been limited with my ability to work, and thankfully we aren't in the peak of growing season. But I realized I quickly had to put plans in place to ensure I could adequately heal. I have learned two things about managing health as a farmer. The first is, being prepared isn't just about supplies and equipment, or having enough water, or having emergency plans. Preparing for the unexpected requires that we have backup plans, and sometimes those aren't enough. While we have been working on being able to physically handle the extreme weather and have some flexibility, the real preparation that's needed is the emotional resilience. Being emotionally prepared for the unpredictable nature of farming is critical to riding out the rough times. I don't think I was last year. In fact, I know I wasn't. And I vowed to spend the winter working on this. putting into place some personal practices that I would not push aside because work needed to be done, but also communicating to my family that we needed to focus on our well-being. At the beginning of the year, I said to someone, 2020 was hard, but there was the sense that we were all in it together and we felt hopeful. But 2021 was the year that was really hard. It was exhausting. It was stressful. I wasn't really able to start addressing that until I had acknowledged that it had been a really hard year. Emotional resilience, I have found, is perhaps the most valuable part of building resilience in farming. And that's my focus now. My approach for building emotional resilience is focused on pouring more of my time and energy into the things I so often put at the bottom of my list: my personal interests, my writing and podcast, and my constant pursuit to be more self-reliant. One of the major issues affecting people for the past 6 months or so has been rising costs of food and just about everything else. Throughout the winter, we have had most of our food stored, such as frozen and canned fruits and vegetables. We grew food through the winter. We had meat in the freezer. And because my daughters are so keen to make everything from scratch, we even have our own body care and cleaning products. I do 2 large wholesale orders a year on bulk dry goods. So we were really well stocked. We didn't see too much increase in our grocery bill and what we had to purchase. It made me so grateful that we had our own nourishing food. We could spend the short, dark days baking and canning, blending teas, and making an array of home products. We have been far less dependent on food and products from outside our community, and this feels really good. Because we have forest on our property, we have decided to cut some trails through it so we can access more of it and thoroughly enjoy it. While we live close to the beach and the most spectacular park, we also love being able to gently walk through our land, ID plants, forage, and protect the home to the family of eagles and ravens that allow us to live here. I have quickly adopted a practice of stillness and gratitude every time one of them flies over me. This happens several times a day, and they are always close, often talking to us. And I feel this immense sense of protection from them. Probably the foundation of emotional resilience for me is my desire to protect and preserve this land. How can we make the most of it, but also allow it to thrive and nourish us and our community? Connecting with nature is both active and passive. We don't need to be thinking about it to benefit from it, but we do need to think about how we want to exist in it. The second lesson about managing health as a farmer for me has been to recognize the ebbs and flows of life. Just as nature has seasons, we as people do too. There are times when raising a family or caring for others is a priority, and maybe that means shifting the type of farming we do, the type of work we take on. And there are times when we have more time and energy for farming and we can pour a little more of ourselves into it. Looking ahead at this year, I am trying to strike a balance with doing the work I want to do, achieving our goals as a business, but also giving us some latitude to rest and restore. We don't want to burn ourselves out. I hear so much about farmer burnout and see friends who have felt this from time to time. I want to avoid it, and so that may mean I won't take on as many things as I like or I wish I could. It might mean saying no to some opportunities. I don't believe in the hustle and busyness that so many entrepreneurs push for. Women especially are often encouraged to work to the point of exhaustion, that this is some goal or expectation. When I started mindfully living in a cyclical way, I also started having more success in my career. The more I rest, the more I produce. The more I breathe, the better the outcome of my work. If there is one thing I wish for all female farmers and women who ranch or manage a homestead, it would be to not underestimate the power of rest. I wish I had learned this earlier, but I know now that rest, without feeling guilty about it or anxious that I'm not doing enough, is indeed my superpower. And rest isn't just about good sleep. Remember when I talked about us not being able to sleep during the heat? We would rest during the day. We weren't sleeping, but we would slow down, drink tea, and wait for the heat to pass. Prioritizing emotional resilience might also mean I won't do things, and I'm coming around to being okay with that. I want to breathe. I want time in my day for myself, my hobbies, and for fun. But if I trust that nature and rest will build my resilience, then I will be happy with my work, because I won't be too burnt out to enjoy it. I think if more of us talk about managing our health, and in particular our mental health as farmers, and especially as women, we will feel the pressure ease just a bit. We will be able to breathe and be reminded of what we love about our work. And I, for one, would like to do this for a long time. Thank you for listening to A Year on the Farm today. Don't forget, new episodes arrive every Tuesday anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can also connect with our community on Instagram at A Year on the Farm and visit our website at gatherfarmandkitchen.com to learn more about our farm and to sign up for our email newsletter. Please remember, beautiful food is in your future.